1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 17. Again, 1 Kings 18, verse 17, and it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and to the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." Let me tell you a story about a young couple. They get married and they're going to move in. They had the wedding, they had the honeymoon, now they're getting everything together. And men and women, we look at houses and decoration of houses differently. And the woman, she comes in and she looks at the bathroom and she goes, okay, well, my cosmetics will go here and my hair stuff will go here. And these three drawers will be for the doodads and the accoutrements that come with being a woman and all the things you got to have. And the man walks in and he goes, here is where my toothbrush is going to go. I'm going to paint it blue. And that's pretty much as far as we think about these things. Right? Here's where the plunger goes. Right, so he comes in and the wife has painted the bathroom pink. And she's got those fuzzy little stuffed animals covering the toilet seats. And everything's decorated and her stuff's all over the vanity. And his poor little toothbrush has been relegated to the bottom drawer right down there next to the deodorant. And you got to reach down every morning and he gets it. So he goes, well, that's not going to do. I'm the man of this house. And he takes the toothbrush and the toothpaste, all of his stuff, and he moves it to the top drawer. And he takes all of her stuff and he rakes it over to the corner. Right? And he vows, I'm going to paint this back. And they go back and forth. The first year of their marriage is going back and forth on this bathroom. And finally it comes to a head because you know how everything is kind of just a little bit passive aggressive when you first get married. You don't want to have the first fight, so you put it off and you put it off and you put it. Finally it came to a head. She comes up to him. She goes, you are ruining the bathroom. And he goes, no, you are ruining the bathroom. From Ahab's point of view, this is the argument going on. Right? Elijah, you're ruining Israel. And you know what? I understand that you think I'm ruining this place, but you're ruining it. But that is not the conversation taking place. It is not a simple squabble over whose way is going to be won. It's not a battle over wills. It's not a battle over decorations. What it is a battle over gods. Now those people, they belong to God. That land belonged to God. The government that they had belonged to God. And what Elijah said is that it's God's will that ought to win here. Not mine, not yours, and it's you that is troubling our nation. It is you and your fathers that are causing all of this mess. And we sit here in a world today, and I feel like we're having the same battle over again, where you hear so many carnally minded people point to Christianity and say, it is these people and their God that is the problem. Right? You didn't let us run wild when we were kids. You didn't let us smoke dope. You didn't let us do this. You didn't let us sneak out and stay out late at night. You didn't let us do all these things. So you caused this depression and anxiety because I couldn't put my life at rest doing dumb stuff. So you caused me depression and anxiety. It is your fault, religion, that you did this. And we've completely divorced cause and effect. They have a hatred towards God. They have an anger towards God. And I've seen people argue, the world doesn't have an anger towards God. Well, let's go street preaching. Let's go on the corner down there in Flint. See if we can't catch a rock or two. There's anger. It's not everybody. It's not the most of folks. But there's anger. And it's rising. The more that the religious things are demoralized, the more that we've got people who pretend to be Christians but do horrific things while claiming the name of God, the more we've got that going on, yeah, the worse it's going to get. When we've got sinners misrepresenting God, when we've got people in churches, good, sound churches, misrepresenting God and they're sinning and they're hurting people, yeah, I kind of believe you. And guess what? That anger's going to grow. But what are the righteous doing about it? Do the righteous have the strength to point their finger back and say, it's not me? Yeah, but what about all these people that are going to your church? What about this guy who did that 400 years ago? What about this guy that did that in your church 4 years ago? What about this one? Oh, they're among us, but they're not of us. Well, how do you know? By their actions. By their actions. Well, they did this. They stole this amount of money. Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that tell you that maybe God don't work? That tells me that they don't work. That tells me that they didn't do what was right. That don't tell me nothing about God. You know how many people, they get steamed up, they get angry at a pastor, they get angry at a preacher, they get angry at a church member? And maybe for real reasons, maybe for not real reasons, it doesn't matter. They get angry at the preacher and they walk away. How many times have I said, you don't walk away from the preacher. You're not walking away from the pastor. You're walking away from God. Because what you're saying is, this unfaithfulness means more to me than God's faithfulness to me. Because I tell you what, I can have a conversation with somebody out of line. I can sit there and I can battle it out with somebody who's misrepresenting God. I can do that all day. So therefore, I've got no reason to blame God for what man does. That's not God. God didn't do that. That person's in disobedience to God. But what we see through those things, through those sins, and through those hurts, the anger is growing. What else do we have? We have people on TV mocking God, making fun of God. We see it in the schools. We see it in the entertainments. We see it on social media. We see it everywhere. More and more people mocking God. And the anger, it rises. You know what? I do not like Long John Silver's. I don't. I'm never going to come up with the money to put up a billboard to talk about how much I hate Long John Silver's. There's certain things that people believe in that they like that I absolutely hate. Cannot stand. But I'm not going to ever put up a billboard to talk about my hatred of it. How much it bores me to tears, how much I don't like it. But you know what an atheist will do? Just that. Have the audacity to look you in the eye and say, well, I don't hate God. He's not existing. Why'd you make a whole billboard towards him? What's the idea? It's God's, it's you Christians. That's what it's about, really. You don't understand that. No, I get it. I get it. You got so angry at a thing you don't believe in that you dug deep down into your pockets and you shelled out the money to talk to other people about how stupid you think they are. Anger's on the rise. And we sit there and we preach in our pulpits how carnality and sin is destroying our nations. And they'll sit there in their lecterns. They'll sit there on their social media platforms. They'll sit there in their entertainments on the television. And they will shout how it's Christianity that has ruined the nation. So we've got to find a way of really looking at this to see what's going on. Who is really troubling our nations? Is it our God or is it theirs? Here's where we see Elijah in this battle, where he sits there and he's got the spine to put his finger back in King Ahab's face and say, it's not us, it's you. It's not my God, it's you. You're doing. Because I can hear their complaints now. We would be able to do whatever we want were it not for you and your God. Why can't we take these kids and show them these books and take them to this nightclub and have these people dance for them? Why can't we do that? Because it's immoral. It's grooming. It's predatorial. Oh, but you're just small-minded. You shut your mouth. You're hurting people. Is that just about God saying no and that should be enough? God says no and you're hurting kids. I got a right to say something about that. Well, you know, you sit there and you tell us that we're not allowed to have abortions. No, you're not allowed to kill people. Let's put the wording back into it. Well, what about these circumstances? I don't know. Here, let me put a gun in your hand. This person committed this crime. You pull the trigger. Well, that's different. Yeah, it's different because you got to pull the trigger. Different because you got to look them in the face. Oh, how few we would have if the ultrasound machine was on during the process. And you saw the human life die. I have a right to say something about that. Oh, but these circumstances. You had to look that person square in the eye. You wouldn't kill him. And here's the thing, that child did nothing to you. There's a live flesh and blood walking around adults that should pay for their crimes. Not that child. I've got compassion. I've got buckets of compassion for people who were harmed in that way. Gallons of compassion. I know exactly how that... I know. But that doesn't mean we kill a life. At least not that one. You want to take the other one? I'm on board. I'm on board. All the things we would be able to do if you preachers shut your mouths. All the stuff we could do if you religious people stopped coming to the polls with your Bibles. Right? We're the only ones who aren't allowed to show up with our worldview. Don't do it. We don't want you to do that. No, no, it's wrong. Separation of church and state. Blah, blah, blah. Again, $50 to the person that could show me in the Constitution separation of church and state. All right? And if you can do it, go see Brother Charlie. He's got it. Now, again, we've heard the arguments. You could still worship Jehovah. Just don't offend me. Why can't you just be religious on Sundays? Shut your mouth Monday through Friday. Right? What if you just didn't show up on my door? What if you never invited me to church? What if you never voted your convictions? What if you never voiced your opinion? What if you never said anything to tell me that I should or should not do something? Wouldn't you just be happy? I mean, I wouldn't conflict with you. You wouldn't conflict with me. And by the way, that's a lot of what the Israelites did. King Ahab didn't reject God entirely. He didn't tear down the temple. He didn't do anything. All he did was what? Institute Balaam as well. He had no problem with Jehovah. He just loved his polytheism. Can't you love the God of heaven and love this decadence too? No, because my God has a problem with that. It's not. It insults you and it makes you angry. And I think it's a sign of a weak character that this makes you angry. No, my God don't like it, and I serve my God and I love Him. It ain't about me. Your fight ain't with me. It's my words, but it's my God you have to answer to for that. And my God, He is a jealous God. He accepts no other gods on His level. He doesn't care what you think about yourself. He doesn't care what you think about the world's philosophies. He doesn't care about what you think about the world's philosophers. He set a law, and He gave it to His creation. Not a random happenstance, a blip in the galaxy of universes. He didn't do that. He didn't find us and bestow upon us something. He created us. He gave us His law. We transgress it. So no, I can't have two gods. I can't even serve God and mammon. I can't even put my will in front of His because my will is impulsive. My will is flawed. My will doesn't work out the way that it should. His will does. Right? I mean, you think about it. What's your gut reaction? You know, somebody sits there, they ding your car. Your neighbor does something bad to you. Somebody says a mean word to you. What's your gut reaction? Is it an honorable thing? Probably not. Well, they came over and they pushed me, so I clocked them. Okay, but like, does that honor God? Well, no, but it's what I felt. So we understand that as the sin nature, as the impulse, I can't trust that thing. The Bible even says my heart is deceitfully wicked. And you know what? It does do that, doesn't it? You ever get hot and angry and bothered at somebody and really there was no problem at all? It's called taking a car trip with your family. Get in the car, do this. What are you guys really angry at? What are you really bothered at? Hey, pull off to the side of the road. Get some McDonald's. Pull off to the side of the road. Throw a Frisbee around or something. Take a break. What's wrong with you? We've all been there. We're fighting over stuff, over things that didn't even happen. Remember how I said last week? I've been involved in fights I didn't even know I was in. Years-long arguments that I didn't even know I was a part of. Well, you know this has been going on for a long time. No, I actually really kind of like you. I had no idea that there was any issues. I am more than willing to deal with this. right? You'll find a willing participant in making this right here. I had no idea. We get that way. Why? Because the heart said, did you see the way they did that? I wonder what they meant when they did that. Well, you know what I ought to do? I ought to go over there and this or that. I've seen a lot of silent wars go on in churches over made-up stuff. Why? Because that's what the heart does. Well, they offended me. How did they offend you? Well, what they said implied this. Or was it my pastor used this illustration all the time? I always thought it was good, right? Well, they gave me a funny look. Give me a very dirty, ugly look. Well, maybe they just look that way. You don't know, right? I resemble that remark. Brother, why are you looking at me like that? Sorry, I just got one of those faces. If I'm trailed off, I look angry. I don't know why, but this dopey-looking face gets grumpy-looking every now and then. Right? What's wrong? Did I do something wrong? No. I had no idea my face was doing that. Come on, let's really stop and take a look. The heart in and of itself causes and perceives evil where it shouldn't be. So I can't even trust my own self, let alone your made-up God of man, your made-up God of government, your made-up God of money, your made-up God of feeling good. And you could also see the argument coming back at us. Well, there's many of you God servers that can do both, right? There's the ones that'll go out and they'll have a good time on Saturday. They'll get obliterated on a Saturday, show up Sunday morning, and still be able to sing praises louder than anybody else. Now, can't you be like one of those? They don't offend us. They rejoice in our sin. They tell us that God loves us in our sin. We said, well, yeah, that's the beautiful thing. God does love you in your sin, but he expects you to change. The message Jesus Christ preached was repent, not come and keep it, not bring it in. There's a reason why he had to die on the cross for our sin is because God don't tolerate it. You can't bring it in with you. A couple weeks ago, I came home and there was a stick. Now, you know my battles with sticks. There's a stick laying in the middle of the floor. Right? And The wife blamed the kids, the kids blamed the dog blamed the cats didn't say anything because they're animals. Pay attention, right? So I took, get the stick out of here. I came by a couple days later, guess what I found on the floor again? It was a different stick. A couple days after that, dog came running down the stairs from upstairs in the kid's bedroom. Guess what he had in his mouth? A stick! Get it out of here. Throw it out. I don't want that here. I mean, I've got, you know, the inside belongs inside. The outside belongs outside. Amen. I like sticks out by the fireplace. I like pillows inside the house. When you start swapping them, there's something in my brain that goes. God has no patience for our sin. No ability. When his son was covered in our sin, he couldn't even look at his own son. And that's God incarnate. That's the gap between God and his tolerance for sin. Folks, we can't do both. And those that do both only do a detriment to the Lord. Not only are they disobeying him, but what are they doing? They're showing a bad face. When their face represents God. There's that song, when the world looks at me, do they see Jesus? Well, if you claim the blood of Christ, if you claim Christianity, people see you that way. Right? Oh, there's this deacon down at the First Baptist Church of the refrigerator over there. And you know what? He drinks on Saturday, smacks his wife around all week. He's been accused of doing this and that with some of the kids at the church. That's why I don't go to church. We don't do that. God's people ought to act like God's people. Well, wait a minute. This is supposed to be a sermon about the world. Don't be worldly. Don't be worldly. Don't let that stuff in here. Don't let it in your heart. Don't let it in your mind. We're supposed to have been made better than that, so we ought to act better than that. You can't serve both. You can't sit there and tithe the biggest and vote the first and be that person who's instrumental in the church and then be at home deep in your sin. That's not a good look. And guess what? It's not about looks, is it? God's going to have a thing or two to do about that. You're going to answer for that. So we must check ourselves to make sure that we're not trying to serve both, because that's what the world's looking for. Now, wait a minute. Can't you serve Jehovah on Saturday? Can't you take your Sabbath? Can't you keep your rules and then just, you know, pop on over to the temple of Balaam? Or why you got to do all this stop in the rain and all that stuff? Don't do that. Can't we just cohabitate? Can't we just coexist? No. Because as we talked about in Sunday school, I'm a watchman. I have to announce that there's a threat. And if you're the threat, I got to announce it. If there's a threat on you because you're participating in sinful things, if you're not saved, I have a duty to say something. Right? You can have both. There's plenty of you that do both. So why are you being so loud? Why are you standing against us? You're just a killjoy. Right? Isn't that comedian? Most people make God out like he's some kind of cosmic killjoy, right? Where he looks down there and he saw drinking and he saw reveling and he saw sleeping around and he saw the lying and he saw the cheating and people getting hurt and other people getting rich off of people getting hurt. And God just goes, you know what? That's too much fun. No. God knows sin defiles a man. God's got a distaste for sin. It started with that. There was no period of time where God just said, oh, that's fun. No. No. It was always, this is wrong. This is wrong, and this is the punishment for it. I can't stay silent because I don't want the world. I don't want the devil. I don't want the flesh of other people to chase people away from God. I don't want to see people go to hell. Now, I understand the doctrines that we understand. But my point is this. If my job is to give the gospel, I don't want people to go around without it. If my job is to point others towards Christ, I'm not going to be excited about things going in a different direction. That's my effort. That's my whole heart, is to point others towards Christ. Go with me to 1 Kings 16, verse 30. 1 Kings 16, verse 30. See, at this accusation of you're troubling our nation, Elijah flipped the script on him. Let's take a look at Ahab. Let's look at Elijah's argument for a second. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Hey, for a second there, did evil in the sight of who? Modern Christianity? Uh-uh. Modern Judaism? Uh-uh. Societal norms? Uh-uh. Did evil in the sight of the Lord. It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what you think. It don't matter what the people in this day and age thought. The evil was done in the sight of the Lord. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. The problem was Ahab. Now, I know we preach a lot on Jezebel, don't we? Oh, Jezebel turned his mind, and Jezebel did this, and Jezebel did that. Hey, guys, if you make a mistake, if you disobey God, if you commit an open sin, that's on you. Well, what about Jezebel? That's on her too. As a matter of fact, there's such a thing where that's her responsibility for bringing this false religion into Israel. It's his responsibility for allowing it, erecting it, and creating it. He answers for his, she answers for hers. That's the business. So there he is. Who's causing the problems? You're bringing in this pagan god. You're bringing in this pagan lifestyle. You're bringing in this lechery. You're bringing in this lustful living. You're bringing in these weird processes. It's you undermining people from God. Because when the people served God, things were going great. But when they weren't serving the Lord, there was nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. What troubles this world? the false religion of man. 1 Kings 17, verse 1, I'll just read this one to you. And Elijah the Tishbite, this is the response to Abraham coming to power, Ahab coming to power. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You know what? Balaam and Baal and this particular branch of deity, they were responsible for certain things given different parts of history, right? You know what Balaam's particular thing was? What he was supposed to be the god of during this particular period of time? I'll give you a hint. It says it right there in the verse we just read. Rain, fertility, and crops. Isn't it funny how God does that? Look at Egypt. I mean, they had a god for every single last one of those curses God threw down on them. Every last one of those plagues, they had a god for. And you know what that god did? Nothing. Because fake gods can't do nothing. I mean, think about it. Go to your bank, pull out all your money, and give it to my minister. No, sorry, here. Pull out all your money, put it on the table. And start asking that money questions about how to live your life. You know what it's going to say? Nothing. Right? Go ahead and get all the friends, the ungodly friends you got, all the people that are tempting you to go away from God, line them up. Ask them for advice on what to do in your life. And you know what you'll find? A hotbed of confusion. Because each man will think, right? The way of a man is right in his own sight, right? You'll get a lot of very passionate people telling you to do adverse and even differing things. They won't agree all the way, right? Oh, depending on how close your friends are, they might figure it out after a while. They might come to a compromise for what to do with your problem, but you got no guarantee that's right. Take all the alcohol. Put that together. Slam it down your throat. Solve your problems. Put the things in your veins. Put the things up your nose. Clock out. Just sit down on the couch, your cell phone charged, your television on, and you wait for an answer to the problems in your life to show up. And you know what you're going to find? Not a single answer. Buy millions of dollars worth of self-help books, and I'm sure you could. And you know what you'll find? Not a single conclusion. Because deaf, blind, dumb gods can't answer. They can't answer. Now, what about humanism? Humanism is a very exciting thing for some. If I look within myself and I find my truth and I establish my truth and I decide what's right for me versus letting some old book do so, I'll decide it. Okay. Shoot. Well, I don't know what to do. Well, now come on. Jump around. Slap your face. Get a cup of coffee. Your God is asleep. Go on a retreat. Sit there in one of those houses filled with steam. Yeah, wake your God up. Most of the time, the God that we rely on within ourselves is the one causing the trouble. Am I right? Because I can think of most of the problems I have are there because I caused them. Weren't the devil, weren't this world, it was me. And my reactions to things and my ideas. I can't even rely on the God of humanism. Even, you know, they trusted him. Even though the God of rain couldn't make it rain. 3 years, no rain. Could you imagine that? 3 years, no rain. The drought, the famine, the starvation. And there's Balaam, the one they were sacrificing to, the one that they were having pleasure parties to, the one that they were disrespecting themselves to. Didn't make it rain. He was their God of rain. Didn't do a thing for him. And how does that correspond with today? You know, a lot of people do things that make them feel good for a second, and they hope that that means it'll solve their problems. Isn't that what a lot of what sin is, just chasing that those little good-feeling chemicals? Well, it gives me the good-feeling chemicals, so it's got to be right. Okay, well, wait a half hour, wait 2 days, wait 3 days. Does it help? No, actually, it kind of made things worse. But it felt good in the second, didn't it? Yeah. So what do you got to do? You got to keep opening the veins. You got to keep snorting the stuff. You got to keep drinking the stuff. You got to keep doing the things. You got to appease one lie with another. You got to steal a little bit, and then you got to steal a lot of it to cover up the little bit that you stole. We sin and we compound our sins because that's what sin is as a God. You give and you give and you give and you only have less. It never serves. Couldn't solve their problems. Balaam could not see their hurts. Didn't give a whit about their belly because he was stone. He was an idea. He didn't care. He felt nothing for their anger, heard nothing of their pleading, and he didn't shed a tear for them when they cut on themselves or died. Why? Because stone don't do that. Stone doesn't feel a thing. And even when this great contest that comes next, we know the great contest between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, right? And of course, we always leave out the other prophets there of the grove. We always forget about them, but they were there. This great big contest. Balaam didn't even defend himself. Because deaf, dumb, blind gods can't. But when you serve the Lord, there's a weird thing that goes on. When I live in honesty, guess what? There's less problems. When I deal righteously with everybody, when I abide by the laws of God, when I ask for forgiveness, when I give forgiveness, when I tithe, when I serve Him, when I seek His advice and His Word, when I apply His Word to my mind, allowing me to have discernment and wisdom, things work out. And not only that, but I find the answer to prayer. I find the answer to things that I could not have gotten on my own. I'll tell you a story yesterday. We were driving down to Flat Rock. We were going to go to a birthday party. Driving now, we're in the van, we're having a good time, and all of a sudden the little low tire pressure light pops on. Bing! I'm in the second lane. I go, you know what I ought to do? I ought to just pull off over here on Miller Road and check it out. I never made it to that slow lane. I never made it to the off-ramp before that tire started to go. Well, I guess I'm going to stop off on the side of the road next to Miller Road, and I'm just going to hang out right here. You know what? That was very frustrating, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was grumping a little. Danielle was grumping a little. The boys had quickly discerned that they weren't going to the birthday party, so they were grumping a little. And in our hearts and our minds and our naturalness, there was just grumpiness. Tow truck driver showed up in 5 minutes. Tire place was just a mile down the road. Brother Mark was so good to come and give us a ride. Took my family home while I could go get a new tire on the car. All in all, took about an hour, 2 hours or so. I'll just put it up. 2 hours I was sitting at home. And 2 hours I was sitting at home. You know what? We didn't get to go to the birthday party. But my kids didn't have to sit all night there on the side of the road while I tried to walk my way up to a tire place. And would you believe this? Going up to the tire place, they had the exact tire that matches the other tires on my car. I just bought two tires last year. They had the exact model, one left. That was my tire. I don't know why somebody walked away with three of them, but I'm grateful. I'm grateful that whatever their issue was or whatever their decision was, it involved leaving mine behind so I could put it on my car. Tow truck driver showed up real fast. Brother Mark showed up real fast. We were at home. We were able to eat. I had people calling me to see if we were okay. And I was at home spray painting something in the backyard. Like, I had already forgot. I was like, I forgot, but I was already behind me. I'm on to new and bigger, better things right now. Hey, are you okay? Are you guys still there? No. Got home a while ago. Now, here's the thing. What is my desire? Grump. What's the natural desire of man in that situation? Grump. What was God's plan? I'm going to protect this guy because he don't know what's about to happen to him. When that tire blows, I'm going to put him a mile away from a tire place. I'm going to make sure Brother Mark can borrow the Eckleberry's van, right? And he ain't doing nothing. I know you might have been doing something. I don't know. Make sure he's not out of town somewhere. I'm going to make sure he's right there. The tow truck shows up. Tow truck driver goes, well, I don't know when your ride's going to be here, so just hang out in your van. The moment he says that, Brother Mark. Called the guy at the tire place. He goes, I've got that exact tire. He goes, but we close in an hour. You got to make sure that you can get here before 5 o'clock. And I go, okay. We were there at 4. I was out just as they were buttoning up their stuff, 4:45 or something. Thanks, guys. Out the door. Now, brother, that happens to a lot of people, and that's perfectly normal. Yeah, but I'm noticing some funny stuff in there. Because if any of you ever have something like that happen at the way wrong time, or in the way wrong place, way wrong situation, right? You're fighting a mountain of bills, and the tire blows, and now you're stuck. You ever have to sit there and wait to repair your car for 2 or 3 paychecks? I tell you, that's nice. When it goes out right where it went out, I could have walked there. If there was no tow truck, even I could have walked that distance with a tire. And you know I can walk with a spare tire. I'm just saying that when you serve the Lord, He not only gives you all the things that you, but He'll bless you on top of stuff. Well, I'm sitting there trying to do it my way, where I'm going to fill this tire with all the hot air coming out of my mouth. His whole plan's already worked out. And then you're sitting there in your backyard going, you know what? That was super easy. And I was praying to the Lord as I was driving back. Lord, thank you for the speed. Thank you for this. And now you just start thanking the Lord, and then the more you thank Him, the more you realize everything that went involved with what He did. I never could have worked that out in and of myself. I never could have done the math to have my tire blow right there. If I could have done the math, I just would have fixed the tire before I drove on it. But I didn't know what was wrong with it, nor could I have calculated where it would pop. Couldn't have timed it to where I was so close to a tire place that had my exact tire. Couldn't time it to where I had a guy that was willing to slip me in and get the work done real fast for me. I couldn't have done any of those things. Because what was I doing? Grumping. You ever grump with somebody who's supposed to be fixing your car? Don't do that. Right? The people who work on your tires and the people who cut your hair, you be nice to them. They mess you up. Now, my response would have made it worse. But God's plan was so much the better. While Balaam didn't care if his people got cut. Didn't hear them cry. Didn't hear them scream. Do you think those drinking buddies are going to come to you at all times? No. They'll abandon you. Do you think those people that sat there and sold you the drugs will have anything to do with you when the money runs out? Mm-mm. I knew somebody one time, they were really good at a thing, and they participated in a league of the thing, and they got really, really good. And guess what? Because they were really, really good, they were really, really popular. It made them really, really happy. Everybody likes me because I can do this thing really, really good. Well, an accident happened and hurt their shoulder, and they couldn't do that thing anymore. So guess what? All the friends went away. All the popularity went away. Because as it turns out, in a humanistic-based ideal, when you stop being a good benefit to me, I no longer care about you. What does God say, though? Care for all people. Show love. Let love be without dissimulation. Right? Be quick with it. Love thy neighbor. God's ways are so much better than the ones that we see around us. You see, in this situation, one God troubles. Another one offers solutions. When these people, they became polytheistic. When they left the true God and started serving their own flesh. And by the way, any of these stone gods, that's what you're doing. You know, actually, there were some that bought into the superstition of it. But for the most part, if there's a God that permits you to do fleshly things, you know what I'm talking about, right? And live a degenerate kind of lifestyle. Part of worship is drugs and things like that. If you've got that versus the one that God puts forward, the carnal mind is going to choose the party lifestyle, am I right? What was that Hillsong pastor? I was just watching a video on him yesterday. That guy sat there getting drunk at his own conferences. Had rock stars and famous people come to the church. We're getting drunk at the conferences, and the conferences were more like a big ravey party anyway. But that's how he presented God. Right? That God's okay with this, and God's okay with that, and God's fine with that. You look at the Word of God, and God says, no. None of those things. They showed in this documentary on him, they showed this interview that he did at one of his own, I don't know if he called it a conference, but that's what it was. And he's sitting there obliterated. He's got this pop star sitting next to him who cannot control his mouth. Can't control his actions. I love you, man. I'm just trying to make an illustration here. They're going to pick it. Because I want gods that'll give me both. That's what they wanted. But that causes trouble. Well, no, it don't. Well, it did for that Hillsong pastor. It did for the pastor even higher than him in the organization, because he got caught doing some stuff. And his dad got caught doing some stuff. And he even got in trouble for hiding what his dad did. Tell me what Christ-likeness really is. It is not conformity to this world. It is not a polytheism. Their gods are ruining this planet. It is the gods of lasciviousness that's hurting innocent women and children. It is the gods of lasciviousness that are hurting lives and trafficking women and children across the countries. It is lies that are creating the politics. It is craving of power. It is pride that creates the issues that we have today, not God, who speaks of being humble and showing love to all people. It is not our God. Well, yeah, but there are some Christians. Don't blame the failures of Christians on God. He's the one who told us not to do that stuff in the first place. He didn't change his mind. He's not some weak, pathetic man who leads an organization who will sit there and when there's sin in the camp, try to gloss over it. You answer for your sin in the work of the Lord. You answer for it. God is not slack concerning his promises, both the ones to bless and the ones to punish. He's not slack. As I've said before, the deaf, dumb and blind gods of this world are the ones destroying it. The God of self tells you to chase what feels good, and in chasing what feels good leads you down a lot of restricted roads. And you end up hurting yourself or others. Chasing what feels good knocks over a lot of people in your path as you're trying to get to it. And when you finally catch it, you end up having to chase it again. And in the end of all the chasing, you're much worse off. Much worse off. When you serve the devil, you do the things they tell you to do, you fight against God. Yeah, you know what? You kid yourself. But you live in anger. And in the end, you're cast out into utter darkness. Our hope is not in the deaf, dumb, blind gods of this world, but in our Heavenly Father. Because where Balaam couldn't love his people, God did. Where Balaam couldn't hear, wasn't bothered, couldn't make it rain, God was using a lack of rain to bring his people back to him. God was using that to bring revival, to restore the communication back between him and his people. While they were sitting there fighting over this altar, God was sending down the fire. While you're sitting there trying to do things in a base, carnally minded way, God's got a better way you're skipping. God's got a better way you're skipping. Well, why is there always this infighting? Why is there this bitterness? Why is there all this theft? Why is there all this hurt? Why is there all this assault in this world today? Well, you do sinful, carnally minded things, that's what comes out. You should have listened to God. It's not right for a man to do that. It's not right for a woman to do that. And guess what? There'd be a whole lot less bother. A whole lot less people in prisons. There'd be a whole lot less prisons if we just grasped around what God had for us. See, God loves us. God sacrificed for us. God watches over us. Where the gods of this world will only seek to use you, only seek to get pleasure out of you and then cast you aside when it's gone. Another thing we must be warned about, and of course in this competition that is yet to come, Elijah knew. Elijah knew what was about to happen. I don't think he knew that down to the detail. I think that he knew what was about to happen. He knows that when you square off false gods with the real God, he knows what's going to happen. So he sets up this competition, sets up this contest, and you better believe Elijah knew the fire was coming. The fire was coming. So you know what? Sometimes we're stuck in that position where you can't see eye to eye with somebody that's angry about God. So you sit there and all you can do is this. You stack your altar and I'll stack mine. And we'll see what happens when the fire comes. Now there's two different kinds of fires that we can pull out of this illustration. Number one, there's the fire of trials. All right, you stack your altar, I'll stack mine. We'll see what happens when financial woe comes. You stack your altar, I'll stack mine. We'll see what happens when sickness comes. You do your thing, I'll do mine. We'll see which one of us, we'll see how each of us respond or how each of us fare when the things happen. And those that abide in God and those that do things God's way, that fire will be a blessing. To those of us that don't, that fire will mean defeat. And there ain't nothing you can do. And you even notice that in this competition, we won't read about it because we're getting so late in the afternoon here, but in this contest that they had, they even soaked the altar of God, added an extra challenge to it. Because that's how life actually does work. When it rains, it does what? It pours. And you believe that God can still light the fire even though it poured? He can. The best I can bring to the situation is anger. The best that I can bring to it is irritation. The best that I can bring to it is gut reactions. The best the world can bring to it is give me your money. The best the world can react to it is sedate yourself. Who am I going to listen to? I do believe that God's commands towards love and decency and morality, I do believe that those will make a better life. And I've seen God prove it, not just in these pages. I've seen it. When I honor God with my actions, great things happen. When I dishonor God with my actions, no bueno. I don't have to sit there and debate it. You stack your altar, I'll stack mine. But there's going to come a time when you're going to want to come warm yourself by this fire. You're going to come over, you're going to see, why didn't you react the way that happened? Why did that happen to you, but it doesn't happen to me? Why does that happen? Why does this happen? Is it because you're cheating? Is it because of this? Are you delusional? What is it? No. It's real. It's real. You just got to repent. It's real. You just got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's real. You just got to do the things. It ain't hard. His rules, His commands, they're not grievous. They're not difficult. Of course, the world likes to paint it that way, don't they? Devil likes to paint it that way. You need to be your own person. Yeah. You need to make your own decisions. Yeah. You need to be your own kind of person. You need to do things that you like. Yeah! Now put this in your veins. What? You want to be your own person, right? Buy this from me. Oh, okay, well, I'm an individual, so hey, you need to have autonomy. Yeah, I need to have autonomy. You need to feel good. I do need to feel good. Come on over and buy this from me, and you'll feel the best. Isn't it funny how they don't paint it that way, right? They don't sit there and say, buy drugs, drink alcohol. Sleep around. They don't say that stuff. Lie to your boss. Steal from your boss. Cheat on this. Do this. Do that. Cause fights. If somebody hurts you, hurt them worse. They don't say that stuff, do they? What do they say? Think for yourself. I'm still trying to figure out the connection there. Be destructive. But we're going to call it you having a developed character. No. Why should I have to sin to express myself? Why should I have to buy things from wicked people who don't give a hoot about me or the world they live in order for me to feel like I'm standing up for myself? Now, you tend to your altar. I've got mine. I'll serve the Lord. And we'll see what happens. And then there's the second connotation of what happens when the fire comes, and it's one that not a lot of people like to talk about, and that is when life is over and there is a literal eternal fire to contend with. And there's no water. There's no breaks. There's no time served. Just an eternity with the God that you serve so well. And that is your sin. And I tell you what, the liquor will depart from you. Liquor won't help you in hell. Your self-satisfied feeling of smugness won't help you in hell. Oh yeah, well I know this rock star, we'll go live it up. You ain't going to be living, and you certainly ain't going to feel very up. The time is now. The line that is drawn in the sand, because you remember how it was that Elijah said, all right, if you're going to serve Baal, you serve over there, but if you're going to serve God, you come over here. Drew a line in the sand. That line is salvation. And of course, once we are saved and we cross that line, you better stay on that line. I better not catch you over at the temple of Baal again. Because it's one thing to get out of the judgment. And many of us do that. Oh, I'm not going to hell anymore, so I'll do whatever I want. You still answer for that, son. Not in hell. There was a preacher one time, he gave this illustration. He said he went to a birthday party, and he didn't come from a very wealthy family, didn't have a lot of money, they were kind of poor. Went to a birthday party, and he played all the games. And he was very happy telling about this game that they played, and he won a prize, and he played another game and won a prize. He cleaned up at the games. They brought out the cake, and he ate the cake. And they had fun, they played in the yard, they played in the pool, they do all the birthday party stuff, right? But when it came down to the presents, the guy realized, I never brought them. I won his prizes. I ate his cake. I did all these things, but I didn't bring him a gift. You know, I just didn't think about it. So you know what he did? He hid. So he hid in the closet until the end of the party because he was so embarrassed. Now, that's a funny kid story, right? You know, I never quite understood. You know, you shouldn't feel guilty about that. You know, but kids, they don't process things the way we do. You know, I'd much rather you be here eating the cake than for there to be some kind of a present. You know what I'm saying? We got too much stuff. I guess what I'm trying to say. Well, I didn't bring your kid a birthday present. It's okay. I'm tripping over stuff as it is. Right? When they stop leaving it out for me to fall over, I'll let you know you can bring some more garbage over. But no, could you imagine standing before the Lord? Right? You had a salvation. You sat in his pews. You sang his songs. You had his forgiveness and his love and his mercy throughout the entirety of your life. You had his protection, his watch care over you. And you did what you wanted to do. And when it came down for us to say thank you, we were absent in some areas. I was absent in the level of obedience, Lord. I didn't bring you the gift of obedience. I didn't bring you the gift of respect. I brought no crowns. I brought no works that I've done. Remember, we talk about that for the saved Christian. We're going to stand before the Lord with the things that we've done, and those things will be tried, good or bad. And some of us are going to bring so much useless things because we did it in sin, or we did it while we were wrapped in sin, or we did it for selfish reasons, or we sinned while we were doing it, and it burns away. Man, when that fire comes, I want to be ready. Whether it's an eternal fire, it's the fire that judges the good things that I've done, or it's just the trials that I face here on earth. I want to make sure I'm ready. For those prophets, those false prophets, that fire came. And it ended their life, and it meant defeat. To Elijah, it was one of the greatest victories we ever see in the Bible. What are we going to do? Are we going to sit there and be like, okay, well, you think that us Christians are the problem, so I tell you what, I'm gonna sit down and be quiet. I don't wanna rock the boat here, because you know what? I want you to like me, and I want to like you, and why can't we just be friends? Or are you going to do the friendliest thing that you can? You give them the gospel, and we say these gods that you serve are doing you no favors. They're emptying your life. They're ruining your relationship. They're emptying your bank account. They don't care about you. But there is a God that does. He gave all for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're humbled by your goodness and your mercy towards us. But Lord, when we look at this world and we see the anger growing towards you again. Lord, let us not be discouraged. Let's not pretend like this is the first time that people on earth have raised their fists against you. Lord, it's gone on since the garden, people trying to supplant you. But Lord, they can't, and we know that. Lord, we know that despite their anger and their hatred and their vitriol towards you, your love is still sure. Lord, help us not to be polytheistic. Lord, help us to be giving towards you. And Lord, in the same way, help us to be able to stand boldly, in love, of course, but boldly all the same, to point to the false gods of this world and say, it's you troubling the nations, not us. Father, we are so sorry for this world, this generation that curses you. Lord, I pray you save them. I pray you turn them around. Lord, show them how good you can be. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.